Yay. All right. Thanks for joining me, Jen. I think I'll probably do this on a Sunday, hopefully, and make it a bit more of a regular event, just as a good way for people to catch up, talk some nose work, maybe not every Sunday, but give everyone a chance to either to just have a quick chat and, you know, Q&A as well. But I wanted to go through a few things. One of them was the trial last weekend. We did a level one interiors trial down hosted by the Dog Project, and Rosie and Sue were the judges. I think Sue was the CEO. Rosie was the CEO. And the hide placements were really good. Congratulations, Rosie. I thought it was a really successful trial. And I also wanted to go through exactly what is an element trial just really quickly. An element trial, a level one element trial, you just need birch, your birch ORT. So you need to have passed your birch ORT to be able to enter. The structure of the trials, and this is with ACSW, the structure of the trial means that you do all four searches one after the other. And generally, not all the time, but there's usually a shorter time limit for the one or two and then a longer time limit for one or two. I'm just going to admit Tracy. So that's generally how the structure works. So I think the format is really good for dogs that may not be confident and, you know, necessarily ready to do a full day trial. So, on the trial we had last weekend, there was a 1 minute, I think a 2 minute, and then 2 3-minute searches. So the comments that I just asked Rosie to have a little, some feedback. The first one was in a bathroom, the first search, and we had a 1 minute time limit. To be honest, I forgot about the time limit. I was off in my, you know. but it was a very small room. The bathroom hide did move, this is Rosie saying that, toward the piping, which had a fair amount of distance away from the odour. So most of the dogs used it to track back to source. Some of the handlers didn't give their dog enough time to sort it out, but most of them worked it beautifully. By the time I ran, I think I was second last, and you could tell, like, it literally took my dog 30 seconds just to figure out an area that was a foot and a half wide. So there must have, you know, must have had a lot of movement under, it was under a bathroom sink. The second search area was also fairly small, and it had a large table. Oh, no, it didn't. It had a desk was where the hide was underneath on a vanity screen underneath the desk. And I think it was about halfway up, from what I heard. I missed that one. We called it at the bottom of the table, and I heard some other people actually called it up higher. So the second search, this is from Rosie, being on timber was certainly catching on other areas. But again, most of the dogs worked it brilliantly. Another big factor that stood out was that search one and two were small rooms. You could see the dogs that weren't used to training in small areas. This is probably the standout for me. So Sue had two larger areas, and there's probably a little bit more success there, Rosie said. And the handlers had a choice to go off lead in the larger areas, which was awesome. It was really fun, which would have made a huge difference. So that was the feedback from Rosie, who was the CEO. I think overall, yeah, it was just really fun. It's a nice option for people to trial, especially with nervous dogs. I have a dog that isn't suited to being in a car all day for a full day trial. And, you know, he's nervous. So an interior, four interiors were really great for him to be able to come in to do. But, a couple of things that I think when it comes to trialing is that every now and then it is good to trial to really to see some gaps in your training. And it showed me, like Rosie even said, what she noticed was that smaller areas, my dog was a bit more nervous. And it looks like, I think that's what sort of happens, you know, really small area, lots of people right behind the dog, they're like, why are we here, sort of thing, compared to how confidently he searched in a larger area, which I was really happy with. But that does show a gap in our training, that maybe that's something that we need to set up really, you know, consciously set up smaller areas more regularly, rather than just going to a trial and going, oh, that was a small area. It's something we do need to train for. And the other thing is, with the one, you know, that I missed, was this a problem my dog had seen before? I don't think it was, having it sort of halfway up a desk that has a privacy screen. And, you know, the amount of time that the hides were sitting out as well. And what I could do differently next time. Yeah, well, I guess there are questions for everyone that, that trials. It's very rarely the dog's fault. It usually does show us a gap in our training and where we can, you know, expose them to those puzzles more often. And the only other thing I really wanted to touch on before I throw it over to you guys was this week at Canine Nose Time. I know in my classes I did vehicles all week, and it was really fun. I borrowed my mum and dad's, they've got a trailer and I think it's a Land Cruiser, anyway, a big thing. And just having the two vehicles, because I unattached the trailer, just gave so much more scope when it comes to setting up vehicle searches. And it was, you know, if I'd put the place the hides maybe for the first search, and depending on what level we were training at, was how much was left up to the dog and the handler, and how much input me as the instructor, or how much information they got from me as the instructor. And then we could move the car and the trailer to set up a different puzzle. And the dogs, you could see once they got sort of on odor and closer to source that they did have a recollection of, you know, the odor puzzle and how they can solve it. But with the changing wind direction, and just the change in placement and change from whether the hide was up against the other vehicle or just out on its own, made a real difference. It was a completely different search. So that was really fun this week, but it also just shows how much variety there is when you're searching vehicles and just how much we have to tick off our checklist. And I'm talking checklist for everything from different car tires, because if you do the nerdy thing and when you're out for a walk, have a look at all the different car tires, the amount of air movement that is coming through some of these tires compared to others, the wheels and whatever, that I'm not a mechanic, but the wheel things, you know, where odor can be collecting is different just about on every car you walk past. And I noticed it a lot with the Land Cruiser compared to the trailer. The trailer just has a massive gap in the wheels where the wind would have just been flowing right through to the other side, where the Land Cruiser has quite a lot of a barrier on the wheel. So, I mean, even something like that, you know, wheels are productive areas. And Lynn was lucky enough or unlucky enough, hi Lynn, to do the vehicles that we've practiced literally all week. And so she's run them a few times with both of her dogs. And yeah, it was just, I was just saying how it was really interesting when we move the vehicle, it just becomes a whole different puzzle, and really comes down to the weather and air movement. But otherwise, yeah, it was a really fun exercise to do. But yes, once again, it sort of showed we need to practice more on vehicles and do a lot more on different vehicles as well. And the other thing with the vehicles was the amount of influence that wind direction had. And I have these amazing little flags. Oh, they're in the other room. But they're, I found out what they were called. They're yacht flags. So people use them on yachts because they go 360. So you can see the direction that the wind is coming. And they are literally my new favorite thing. I put them anytime I'm doing an exterior or vehicles, you'll see these little flags in the search area. They live in my car now. And the information that they give, I've got two, and you put them at different spots in the search area. And they really show visually what we know in our minds, but we don't necessarily see. That was but visually, I think, because humans are so visual, we need that visual to see, yeah, at the start line, the wind's going here. At the end of the search where, you know, the dogs may need to go out to catch odor and come back to the car, the wind is going a different direction. Really, really important information and super fascinating. So I will have to post a link for where I found some that were a bit cheaper. They're about $20 each, I think, but I did find some of these little flags a bit cheaper. Okay, so that is probably everything that I sort of wanted to touch on. And if there's any sort of questions, or if any of you were at the trial or wanted to hit me up, we've still got some time. How did you find the vehicle searches this week, Lynn? You're on mute, just so you know.
I thought they were terrific. I didn't flag. You could see where it was going. The one where the two cars and the trailer were very close together. I thought that was interesting, watching how people worked that. Some people sit out and let their dog go in and work. Some people got in there and I think they were too close to their dog when they were working. Of course, they were very close together, and I'm converging or not, but I think the dogs needed room to move up and down and backwards and forwards.
That's a really good observation, I think, and probably applicable to the interior trial we did as well. There was hardly any room. One of the searches I set up with the vehicles, I put the trailer right next to the Land Cruiser, and the hides were about, and they were both on the inside, so the hides were about, I don't know, a meter and a bit away. Mm. But the majority of the dogs worked it really well. It really did come down to the handler's positioning more than anything else, about how the dogs worked it. And it was hard to say whether it was converging or not because it was windy. I wasn't sure what was sort of going on there, because the dogs, some of them would hit one, go off, and then come back and get the other the next time they came around the vehicle.
Yeah, I definitely think it helped if you weren't in there with them.
Yeah. But without crowding them.
And they had to move around.
Yeah, that's...
I enjoyed them. I thought they were great.
Yeah, I really did too. And just the scope, like, I know it sounds boring, I'd use the two vehicles the whole week, but just putting them in different locations and different formations was such, like, it changed every single search, just changed so dramatically.
And I, because I do the two dogs and do the same thing, when I come back with Boss on the Thursday, I think it really helped Boss understand what he had to do.
Yeah.
Because he'd done some before, and I really like that repetition when I'm doing the classes. You think, oh, you've done that before, but I think that's great because it really gives them an imprint of what they need to do.
I agree, and especially when the picture's a little bit different, because I would never set the same hides for, say, the Tuesday class as the Thursday class, but they learn then, you know, that it changes, but it's also they're building on that skill that they've already got, say, on a Tuesday. It was really interesting, and different levels ran it differently. One thing I did really notice is that the dogs are really good at sticking to the vehicles. Like there wasn't a lot of exploring off in the bushes or.
I had the lesson with Susie this morning and we were outside and the grass was delicious. I really had to keep him telling him, where you be, look here, and he'd go off and eat the grass because the grass was long.
There's
not much grass where we do our stuff. It's all dirt. And, that's what I noticed this morning. He couldn't leave the grass alone.
Yeah.
Go back in, go back out, have a chew. It was like Molly or whatever, Joe's dog, rolling in the grass. Was I think I would have run out of time if I was in the tribe.
Yeah, we don't practice on a lot of long grass, and long grass catches a lot more odor too.
Well, that's why I didn't go out. I'm thinking, oh, it's gone out now. They're not chomp, chomp, chomp.
Yeah.
I found the exterior this morning quite difficult for Boss.
Yeah.
He was more attuned to the vehicles in the other searches where there wasn't long grass.
Yeah. Well, that's the other
thing you've got to think about. Oh, I've got to work on that.
Yeah, it's the other thing to add to your vehicle's checklist is searching on different surfaces.
Yeah.
And it affects odour so much more. So when it's grass and like it's wet, you can see that the dogs will stick to the ground a little bit more, and it's odour sort of dropping down into that moisture, which is also really interesting. But we have to know what all of these look like before we go and start, you know, trialing. And
he did go back and he found all the odours this morning, but it took me a long while
to process all the other information.
Yeah.
There was a good article, I think you read it as well, Jen, about teaching, like getting our dogs to the point where they can handle the other distractors, you know, gradually building them up so that the odor becomes the focus, and how to train distractors, which we have done a lot of in class with containers.
Yeah.
But environmental distractors, they get used to training in the same place and processing those distractors. And then when you put them in a different place, it's a whole new lot of things to process, which is another thing we have to sort of keep generalising a little bit.
I mean, it's not so bad on bark now because we've done some work on the bark.
We did a lot of work on bark. That was such a blessing. The council left all of these huge truck vehicle trailer things underneath the shed near the fed, and it was such a great opportunity to just train vehicles for one, but also this you know, that bark is fascinating. There's rabbits, there's all sorts of things that go in there, that was really fun. I really enjoyed that. Vehicles is my favorite, and I didn't realize that other people did not like vehicles as much until this week.
I don't mind the vehicles, but as I said, this morning was tough going for Boss.
Yeah, we definitely need to try and get out to other areas as much as possible. But the thing is, when we do that, it also needs to be done in a way that it's not sort of just throwing all these extra complications at a dog. It's you know, going to a new environment and then breaking it, keeping it really simple there and building that up gradually as well. We can't do the same search as we do, say, this with the same complications where we train all the time and then expect them to be able to do the same thing somewhere else, which I guess is what trialing, you know, what happens at trialing. Yeah, got to keep the expectations fair for our dogs.
Well, I was really pleased that Boss had done all that work during the week, because I don't think I would have gone along the car unless he'd done that during the week. He was really, he wasn't feeling well, I don't know. But
yeah.
All the grass he could find.
Very good, yeah. All right. Jen, did you have any questions, or Tracy? Otherwise,
Nothing from me. I'm just loving listening to it all, and normally don't get to have a Saturday at home, and glad that this popped up to listen to.
Awesome. Yeah, well, I think I'll probably try and do some Sundays. It probably works better for me. But if anyone has any topics they would like discussed, I'm happy just to have a chat with everyone. The format obviously is fairly fluid. Anyone's welcome to speak or ask questions or comments or anything else. So if you'd like to put up a topic, I will be happy to chat about it and chat with other people about it. And we'll just keep doing some little get-togethers and exploring lots and lots of nose work topics. So thank you for popping in. It has been recorded, so I'm going to stop the recording now.